Now we have our scripture reading, which Barbara is going to read for us.
Today's reading is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen.
Well, my text this morning comes from the reading that Barbara gave us, and it is this: you are the body of Christ. Unlike most of our preachers in recent months, I was not asked to preach on a particular theme this morning. The choice was left to me. As you will remember, I'm sure, in the last few weeks, we've followed the series On the Front Line, directing our thoughts to where we interact with others and how we can give appropriate Christian witness, sharing the gospel of Jesus and working for the kingdom of God. Today, I felt led to focus our thoughts on the opportunities and challenges of belonging together as a church. Sometimes it's useful to look under the bonnet, so to speak, and reflect on the way that we relate together. Within a few days, our new minister, Richard Littledale, and his wife, Fiona, will arrive here in Newbury, and we shall be delighted to welcome them, and we look forward to benefiting from Richard's long experience in ministry and his wisdom. Baptist churches have long believed in a ministry trained and well educated in the scriptures, in doctrine, in church history, and with knowledge of biblical languages. We value the ministry, but equally, Baptists have emphasized the ministry of the whole fellowship, often referred to as the priesthood of all believers. I expect that Richard's induction will focus on his role as a minister. But this morning I want us to reflect a little on our role as church members, thinking particularly of that picture that St. Paul gives us of the church as a body, the body of Christ with its many limbs and organs, all of which have their part to play in the total effective functioning of the body. When he's mentioned all the various parts of the body in making a functioning whole, he reminds the Corinthians that they are the body of Christ. Now, reading through Corinthians and St. Paul's rather trenchant observations about their behaviour, one has to say that perhaps the body of Christ was more of an aspiration than a reality. But perhaps that's true of every church. The Corinthians, to start with, are divided into cliques. Some were following Apollos, supposed to be a good preacher. Others were following Paul, or Peter, here called Kephas. And some were being quite superior and saying, "I follow Christ." Apollos was the eloquent preacher, but Paul wants to emphasize the simplicity of the Christian message. And he says, "I didn't come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." So no divisions, no cliques. And in chapter 3, he condemns the jealousy and the quarreling among them. "Some of you have become arrogant," he says. And in chapter 4, he tries to bring the self-important down to earth with the question, "What do you have that you did not receive? You didn't make yourself." And other problems. Well, one member's having an affair with his father's wife. One church member has taken another one to the law courts, rather than graciously trying to settle their dispute within the Christian fellowship. Some are saying, "Now that we're saved, we can do anything we like, because it's all right." And some are very boastful about their spiritual gifts, which others, they claim, haven't got. Others are arguing about food, trying to lay down a law about eating meat which has been used in a pagan ceremony. And then even when they come to communion, the Lord's Supper, they don't wait for one another. Someone has had too much wine and got drunk. So Paul says, let everything be done decently and in order. What a basket case of a church they were, the body of Christ. We can only think that Paul, having started this church in Corinth, was now thinking what an awful lot they were. And of course, they weren't the only church with problems, as we see from his other letters. Now, he didn't become problem-centered, but he certainly drew attention to the problems, and he held out that vision of being the body of Christ. And that's probably the reason why, again and again, he uses a word in Greek, which I know you won't have noticed, but two words in English, which you may not have noticed either. And the word in Greek is allelon, which is translated one another. Now, that's a sort of little phrase that you don't really notice. But one another is used 100 times in 94 verses of the Old Testament. And 47 of those verses are instructing Christians to get on with one another, to love one another, to show humility to one another, not to judge one another, and to bear one another's burdens. Let me give you a taste of some of these commands about church members getting on with one another, but can I just tell you that I will press into your hand, or perhaps someone else will, at the end of the service, a sheet which contains a lot of these one another references in the New Testament, because I can't go through 100 times in the service now. I think, you know, one has to be aware of the congregation. So anyway, there we are. That's how it starts. And then he goes on: be at peace with one another, don't grumble among one another, be of the same mind with one another, accept one another, wait for one another before beginning the communion service, don't bite, devour and consume one another, don't challenge or envy one another, gently, patiently tolerate one another, be kind, tender-hearted and forgiving to one another, bear with and forgive one another, seek good for one another, don't repay evil for evil, don't complain against one another, confess sins to one another. And there are a lot more, but I think that's probably enough to give you the flavour. And remember, we're looking at the phrase one another. Now, there's no doubt that being part of the church means that we're not just concerned with our individual salvation, but that we need to relate to one another as an effective body of Christians. So whereas St. Paul pictured the body with its many parts, all differing and complementary functions, I'm going to leave you with a different picture, equally memorable, I hope. Here we are. Well, last year, Vivian bought for me a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle with this picture of Snow Hill Railway Station in Birmingham. I think she did it partly because I'm very interested in trains. And also, when I was a university student, I worked for the Royal Mail in my Christmas vacations, loading and unloading mail bags from the trains on that particular station. So it was a kind of reminiscent picture. And it took us a long time to complete it. 1,000 pieces is a long time, unless you're going to devote about 60 hours to it non-stop. It took us about 3 months to complete it, putting in the odd piece when we went past the dining room table, sometimes getting quite addicted. You know, where are you? Oh, I'm doing a puzzle. But at last we got there, or very nearly, because when we were about to complete it, it became obvious that a piece was missing right in the middle. And the whole picture somehow was ruined after all that effort. And your eye was drawn not to the picture, but to the gaping hole, the piece that was missing. Well, I contacted the makers to see if they would send another piece, took a photograph of the hole, and if you see what I mean. And they wrote back and said, sorry, every jigsaw puzzle is cut individually. So send us 5 pieces of your old one, and we'll send you a new one of the same. And they did. And you know what? We've never found the time to do it ever since. So there it sits in its plastic bag, just waiting for that moment. Well, now, what I want to say to you, not talking about the body, I'm talking about us as a jigsaw. And we're all individual pieces of the jigsaw. All individual, but every piece important. You all have a place in the jigsaw of the ministry of this church. All of you, all different, all cut differently, all with your particular gifts. Some of you arrange flowers. Some of you make coffee. Some preach. Some make music. Some clear up the front drive. Some serve in various organisations, showing care for children and young people, and also those of senior years. Thank you. Some exercise hospitality, lead small groups, share in the administration. Well, perhaps you haven't got a particular job. Well, no worry. Maybe there's a piece missing in church life which you ought to fit in. And whatever else, every one of us has opportunities to share friendship, especially with those who seem to be rather lonely or perhaps new. We have an opportunity to be understanding, to speak a sympathetic word, or to do a practical task which will make our church life better and more effective. If we work together, I do believe that the warmth and fellowship in a church can itself be a converting experience. As it was said of the early Christians, see how these Christians love one another. And love within the fellowship, as well as love outside, is an expression of the gospel. Now, one last point. The important thing with doing a jigsaw, certainly for us, was to have a picture on the box. Goodness knows how long it would have taken us if we hadn't got the picture. And in the jigsaw of the church, what's the picture? Well, of course, it's Jesus. It's the life of Christ. His life of love and service, self-sacrifice, ultimate triumph. And the more we refer our lives to him in worship, in fellowship, in prayer, and in service, the more Newbury Baptist Church will go forward in joy and in strength. So may you find blessing in following and serving him together, one another making up the whole. And so, final question this morning. Are any of you a missing piece? Is this your moment to see where you fit in? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have a place for us in your kingdom of love and forgiveness. Help us to seek our place and to belong. Help us to seek your will. And if in any way you have spoken to us this morning, may we not turn aside from your word, but go out to live it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.